The Midday News is live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra and Kumasi. We are on Love 99.5 FM affiliates across Ghana's 16 regions. We are on myjoyonline.com. We are live on X Spaces. We are on Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrosol Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. This afternoon, Attorney General berates Speaker of Parliament for allegedly procuring the services of private lawyers for the parliamentary service illegally.
That you cannot use a crime to defend a clear unconstitutional action by us. So indeed, you are engaging in an unconstitutional action and you are using, with all respect, the commission of a crime to further that unconstitutionality. That is wrong.
Also, Attorney General granted 7 days to file a statement of case in the matter of the cases filed challenging the constitutionality of the anti-LGBTQ bill. We have details as the AG and lawyers take on the Speaker of Parliament for failing to file the fiscal impact analysis of the bill in court. And the Council of State's move to mediate peace in Parliament draws praise from the majority who are anticipating a return in November to deal with pressing government business.
If the Council of State I've actually met Speaker, and this is what he's putting out in the public domain. We all accept it because we are yearning to work for Ghana. So we are happy to hear that. And I know from tomorrow to Tuesday, Speaker has to bring out a letter for the recall of all the MPs.
We'll get to hear from political analysts who is hailing the Council of State's move and urging other bodies to intervene as well.
This is a matter that the Supreme Court alone can settle. Let other eminent statesmen and women also join in, bring the two together and see how they can resolve the matter.
Also in this package, Chairman of Parliament's Public Accounts Committee has criticized the Clerk of Parliament, accusing him of frustrating the committee's work due to his failure to trigger processes for the prosecution of individuals charged with embezzling public funds. As a result, some members are considering stepping away from the committee.
The letter was drafted. It was sent to the deputy clerk, who vetted it and forwarded it to the clerk. It took more than 2 years for the clerk to endorse a penny signature.
The Clerk of Parliament?
Yes, I'm telling you.
And there's growing advocacy for the chief executive of the Public Procurement Authority to be appointed through parliamentary vetting, aimed at curbing perceived corruption and enhancing accountability in the role. We have details, plus sports and education minister warns of dire consequences if the double track system is abolished.
If you abolish double track at Prempeh College today, they will not be able to enroll one student. Presec will not take in one student.
We have details of that and much later. 2024 winners of the National Science and Maths Quiz in Fan Sipim School have been letting us in on plans for the future as St. Augustine's College nest their wounds and grapple with the 1 point they never got.
Yesterday, someone told us that we are the luckiest school. I think an inaccurate statement. It has just been God's grace that has carried us this far.
From here, there is university and then.
Details of that and more here on the Midday News. I am Emefa Apau. Please stay on. This is your home of independent, fearless and credible journalism. Thanks for choosing us. Let's dig in. And we start off from the courts, and the Attorney General and Minister for Justice, Godfred Yeboah-Dame, is this afternoon saying the Speaker of Parliament has illegally procured the services of Thaddeus Sory as a lawyer for the parliamentary service. A letter has surfaced in the media from the PPA rejecting an application to single source Sory at Law, the law firm of Thaddeus Sory, as a solicitor on retainer for Parliament. Speaking to Joy News, Kwaku Asante, after yesterday's hearing at the Supreme Court, Godfred Yeboah-Dame berated Alban Bagbin for what he said was pure illegality.
I think it was a matter that was properly brought up, yes, because as I indicated to the court, the procurement of all goods, works and services of any person with public funds must be with approval of the procurement authority. So it's a matter that is very important, and indeed, yes, we raise it.
In the Megacha case, the court stated that when it comes to issues where Parliament and the AG's office has cross purposes, they can hire different lawyers.
As I said, in a constitutional case, there's nothing like a person have an interest in it. What interest does the Speaker of Parliament have in the interpretation of the Constitution? So there's no interest, no personal interest of the Speaker of Parliament. And that's the point I sought to make. That indeed, when it comes to constitutional actions, the most important interest is the true and proper interpretation of the relevant provision of the Constitution. And that is it. So it's not as if a person has a personal interest in it. And if that's the case, as I indicated in some cases that I cited, it is actually a proper interpretation of the Constitution by the Supreme Court that is most important. I mean, as I said, I've always tolerated the Speaker of Parliament and his representation, even though I know it's not lawful. And of course, it is not. You see, and the point must be made, it is not an attempt to prevent the Speaker from having representation. If the Speaker wants to have a lawyer, the Speaker must procure the lawyer lawfully. And then, as I said, they are tangerine, even when he's seeking the service of a lawyer to represent the government in cases outside the country, in foreign court, goes through PPR approval all the time. Even the Chief Justice, the former Chief Justice, Edin Eboah, who was, with all respect, using the services of Thaddeus Sory, had to go to PPR approval. And I know for a fact that he has not received any PPR approval. And so he's in flagrant violation of the provisions of the law, and that is what we sought.
And why did you leave? You did not raise it again. The Chief Justice came back and did not mention it again.
Well, that's up to the court. You know, I do not quarrel with the court at all when the court decides to either defer a ruling or maybe decides not to rule on it. And of course, all rights are also reserved in us to take it up further. What's a breach of the PPA Act constitutes a crime. And my contention is that you cannot use a crime to defend a clear unconstitutional action by us. So indeed, you are engaged in an unconstitutional action and you are using, with all respect, the commission of a crime to further that unconstitutionality. That is wrong.
Godfred Yeboah-Dame, Attorney General, Minister of Justice, there interacting with my colleague Kwik Kwastanti, will stay a while longer in court. And this time, the Attorney General has been given 7 more days to file a statement of case in the matter of some cases filed challenging the constitutionality of the anti-LGBTQ bill. The AG made an application in court asking for more time. Well, Kwik Kwastanti, a member of our legal affairs desk, has just returned from court and joins us in studio with more on what transpired in court today. First, on what basis did the AG ask for more time, Kwik?
Well, according to senior state attorneys who represented the Attorney General in court today, because Godfred Dame did not come to court today, the Speaker of Parliament and his lawyers had promised in previous hearings that they were going to file the fiscal impact analysis of this bill in court. And they said they were waiting for that to incorporate that argument in their statement of case that they were going to file. They had waited and waited and waited. Mr. Thaddeus Sory had not filed this document in court, for which reason they have been delayed and they were unable to file this process before the court. And so they came before this single judge sitting on this matter today, that is Justice Yalda Kwansari, to ask for more time. And they actually said that they were actually ready, and if the court was minded, they could file this process tomorrow. But the wisdom of the judge said it will give them up to 7 days to file this process, and then the issues will be set down for hearing.
I've heard you mention that fiscal impact analysis, so let's get into it. Has the Speaker made that report available to the court, and how crucial is this particular fiscal impact analysis to this case?
So the Constitution says that when a private member's bill is to be considered, the Speaker of Parliament would have to make a determination as to whether or not it imposes a charge on the consolidated fund. That is by way of a fiscal impact analysis. And the case of Richard Alaska and Dr. Amanda Odoi challenging the constitutionality, part of it is that the Speaker of Parliament did not make any determination as to the fiscal impact analysis of this. At the last date in court, in fact, July 4th, Mr. Thaddeus Sory did indicate that the Speaker of Parliament actually did do a fiscal impact analysis, and that this is the document they were willing to put before the court. At some point today in court, the lawyer for Richard Alaska, Ipakosi Abedu, was on his feet challenging the Speaker's lawyers to provide this. Mr. Sory himself was not in court today. His junior represented him. And the judge then said that, well, if the Speaker of Parliament has to present a fiscal impact analysis and he's not bringing it, and it will help your case to Richard Alaska, then why are you pressing them to bring it anyway? And then the AG's officers then also came in and said that they also need it because it is a key anchor on which their case will be built. And then the judge asks them, if they insist that this is something that will help their case, they know what to do. And so, because Mr. Sory himself was not in court and having made that promise in a previous hearing, this judge could not go into the specifics of that. But these parties are now expected to file their processes, and then at the next agenda date, if the court is so minded, it may instruct the lawyers for the Speaker of Parliament to bring this fiscal impact analysis, or the case will proceed without that.
So the AG has a 7-day leave to file. Let's talk about what will happen next in this case.
So when the AG filed this, and we know that the lawyers for Amanda Odoi and Richard Alaska have all filed this action already. They filed their processes. It will follow that Mr. Thaddeus Sory and the lawyers for the Speaker of Parliament would have to also file their statement of case if they choose to do so. If they do not, the parties have been ordered to also file their memorandum of issues. That is what the court will be looking forward to resolving at the end of the trial. And then specifically, this matter will go. Already we are hearing concern from people like Sam George, who say that there is no time for the court to go through all this and perhaps it will mean that by the time the court disposes of this case, the 8th Parliament will have expired, and the anti-LGBTQ bill that it went through pains to pass would have also expired with the 8th Parliament.
Thank you very much. A quick question, Santi. Let's head to Parliament now.
This is a constitutional crisis. We are living in a country where the Parliament is not sitting. What is going on?
And the Council of State's move to mediate peace in Parliament is already yielding results. The Speaker, Alban Bagbin Signala, returned in early November after meeting a 5-member delegation led by Dasibre Otuosiribo II. The House adjourned indefinitely when the Supreme Court stayed Bagbin's ruling of declaring the Aguna West, Fomina, Amenfi Central and Suhum seats vacant. Following that, there's been a long road of legal squabbles and petitions to get the Speaker to recall the House and restore the 4 seats. Well, the Council of State has intervened, assuring the Speaker of its readiness to help resolve that particular impasse. My colleague, Mamie Sinyamiche Thompson, joins us with details of that statement from the Parliamentary Service. Mamiesi, let's go through it.
Indeed, Damefa. So the Speaker responded to the Council of State, led by Dasibre Otuosiribo II, that he is committed to the development of the democratic credentials of the country and its people, and then goes ahead to inform the Council that he's compelled to attend the 67th Conference of the Commonwealth Parliament Association International, which is happening in Sydney, New South Wales, Australia, and is taking place from the 3rd to the 8th of November, but has assured them that he'll come to Ghana earlier than anticipated due to the request by the members of parliament to recall the house, indicating that his office has already started processes to recall the house early in November.
Well, so that's the situation. We'll find out shortly from our parliamentary affairs correspondent whether indeed there had been a statement to that effect on the recall of parliament. Meanwhile, second deputy majority whip Alex Tete is excited about the speaker's stance after meeting with the Council of State. According to him, his side is anticipating a return to attend to urgent government business.
If the Council of State has actually met speaker, and this is what he's putting out in the public domain, we all accept it because we are yearning to work for Ghana. And at the end of the day, we have elected as the members of parliament to work for the good of Ghana. So we are happy to hear that. And I know from tomorrow to Tuesday, Speaker has to bring out a letter for the recall of all the MPs. If the Council of State and other members has actually intervened, tomorrow is November, 1st November, and tomorrow is Friday. So probably we are looking at Tuesday, that he should be able to recall the house for us to actually work for 4 or 5 days. We have some important transactions to transact in the house, like the tax exemption for the 420 companies who are willing to actually establish 1D1F, the free senior high school bill, the 250 million grant from International Development Association, and other items that I listed in my request. And I believe that when we recall the house or speaker recall the house, we'll do justice to it so that we will not spend much time. Once the Supreme Court has pronounced that speaker should hold on with his order, it means that we have our 138 and then they have 137 and we are good to go. We can work overnight.
Well, so that's the second deputy majority whip, Alex Tete, the man who signed the memo to the speaker after receiving all the signatures for that petition. I'll bring in parliamentary affairs correspondent shortly, but we can hear from political scientist Professor Ransford Jampo, who's hailed the move by the Council of State, urging other prominent bodies to also intervene.
If Council of State is up and doing, I would plead that they should intervene in this matter because the points would have to be made. And we have to emphasize that Parliament can never be made subservient to the judicial arm of government. And I know that the Speaker of Parliament would want to also assert himself. And in doing so, we would fester or would get into a deepening constitutional crisis. This is not a matter that the Supreme Court alone can settle. Let other eminent statesmen and women also join in, bring the two together and see how they can resolve the matter. Because if the speaker decides to also disrespect the rulings of the court, then he may also be setting a bad precedent. And like I said, we may be deepening our constitutional crisis in which we are in now. And that will not be good for Ghana's democracy. And so let others join in and then let us have a peaceful win-win resolution to this particular matter.
Professor Ransford Jampu there speaking on the Super Morning Show. Kweku, what do we know? Do we have a letter out already?
This request was sent on the 24th of October. That means the 7 days that the constitution mandate expires by close of day today. As of 12:15 now, the Speaker of Parliament has not yet issued summons, and we expect and we are getting information that by close of day today, the Speaker of Parliament will indeed issue summons. What we are yet to know is whether or not the Speaker will accede to the request of the majority. Because if you look at the request, they cite order 58.4 and says, the Speaker shall summon Parliament within a period determined by the Speaker. And the requirement for a 14-day notice shall not apply where it is an emergency. If the Speaker determines that the business they have itemized for consideration is an emergency, he may recall Parliament without giving a 14-day notice. Okay. If he does not agree that it's an emergency, it will mean that he will give notice of 14 days to MPs before he will determine where exactly they will sit and when. We'll see all the details when the Speaker of Parliament issues the summons by close of day today.
But at least he's mentioned in the Parliamentary Services statement that early November.
Early November could be 1st could to be. 15th, first part of November.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's a Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent. Quick question to there. Now, Chairman of the Public Accounts Committee, James Cloutier-Veggie, has taken on the Clerk of Parliament, accusing him of obstructing the committee's work. He claims the clerk's failure to act on recommendations for prosecuting individuals charged with embezzling public funds has led some members to consider stepping away from the committee. Joy News is learning the clerk sat on a referral to the Attorney General for over 2 years for the prosecution of former chief executive of the Ghana Cylinder Manufacturing Company, Francis Isiem, over a $17 million deal. James Cloutier-Veggie tells Joy News the lack of prosecution on the committee's recommendation makes the work of the Public Accounts Committee useless.
Since we started making recommendations, strong recommendations, for prosecution of even individuals and institutions who actually went against the procurement law, and I've always cited Ghana Cylinder Manufacturing Company,
right,
Francis Isiem,
yes,
where unilaterally she went and awarded a contract over $26 million without going through the procurement process, which is against the law. We have made this recommendation for her to be prosecuted.
Yet,
the Attorney General did not take any action. When I queried him, why are you not prosecuting the people we have recommended? The Attorney General said that we have not been communicated to by Parliament.
And that's the responsibility of the clerk.
That's the responsibility of the clerk. The letter was drafted. It was sent to the deputy clerk, who vetted it and forwarded it to the clerk. It took more than 2 years for the clerk to endorse, append his signature.
The clerk of Parliament.
Yes, I'm telling you. I have to make series of complaints on the floor of Parliament.
But Honourable, what bureaucratic tendencies will get a clerk to sit on a document as important as, you know, ensuring accountability? That it will take the clerk 2 years to forward that referral to the Attorney General's office.
So that's the challenge I have. In fact, it made my committee push her to the standard there is no more interest even doing the work.
For members. Because it's like,
you have work,
and then nothing will come out of it.
Yes.
I want to ask. So since the inception of constitutional rule from 1992 up until now, and since the work of the Public Accounts Committee, has there ever been any prosecution at all based on a recommendation of the
not to the best of my knowledge.
Well, the committee has also identified procurement as the main avenue for corruption in the public sector. James Aveji is recommending an amendment of the appointment procedure for the head of Public Procurement Authority to address the abuse of the sole source procurement model.
If I look at the salaries of the Public Procurement Authority personnel, it's nothing to write home about.
They are not paid well.
They are not paid well. Mm-hmm. They are human beings. Yet there is a request to give approval to award a contract for $100 million. The contractor who will do the work come to give you an envelope. And he will corrupt you because you're not paid well. Two, the appointment to that position as the chief executive or director general of Public Procurement Authority, we should look at it again. If I am appointed by the political head of the government, and that political head there's a request which through a sole source which doesn't satisfy the condition. Mm-hmm. And that political who appointed me gave me a call and said, work on that. What will you do?
So how should they be appointed?
We should look at how they are appointed. There are
in this country, almost everybody is appointed by the president.
Yes, so those sensitive positions must be appointed through a competitive bidding process. Advertise. Let people apply. And then you go through process. Parliament can do that. Mm-hmm. Vet the person, do that. At the end, we give it to one person. And there must be tenure office for that person. Mm-hmm. So he knows that for the period I am working, nobody can sack me. Mm. He will do the right thing.
Chairman of the Public Accounts Committee, James Klute Aveji, taking us on a quick break here on the Midday News, live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra. In Kumasi, we are on Love 99.5 FM. We are live on myjoyonline.com, live in all 16 regions, kind courtesy of our affiliates across the country. We are on X Spaces, we are on Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrol Soul Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. We return from the break. We have sport. Education Minister warns of dire consequences of the double track system if it's abolished. And then also, we'll get to hear from the Deputy Transport Minister, who is asking people to, you know, ignore that transport fare increase that's been announced by the Concerned Drivers Association. But they say the Transport Ministry is acting as dictators.
We are doing business as transporters. We are not doing business as charity running organization. What we are buying it exorbitantly. We are also charging the 15%. Starting on the second, she doesn't buy part for us.
And then much later.
In Fansipim School, it is my pleasure to congratulate you on winning the contest. Well done, 2024 champions!
And we'll get to hear from the champions of the National Science and Maths Quiz for this year. They've been letting us in on plans for the future as St. Augustine's College continue to nurse their wounds and grapple with the 1 point they never got.
Yesterday, someone told us that we are the luckiest school. I think an inaccurate statement. It has just been God's grace that has carried us this far.
From here, there is university and then.
Budgets are tight and money difficult to come by. You want to be sure you get the best value for your money. These are not times to be spending money fixing expensive engine problems because of cheap fuel and lubricants. Drive to a petrol source station today and buy your quality fuel and lubricants and rest assured of fuel that lasts long and lubricants that prevent expensive engine problems. Hear the sound. Petrol Source, clean fuel. In full quantity.
I'm saying that Ghana must not introduce free SHS on the whimsical promise of a desperate politician. Many mistakes have been made by countries in Africa already with free SHS.
They said it couldn't be done. They said it was a dream, but the NPP delivered free SHS. Over the last 7 years, over 5 million students have benefited from free education. The program has significantly increased enrollment and provided access to education for many who might not have had the opportunity.
Before, my family couldn't afford it. Now I'm learning a trade and achieve it, and I'm looking forward to a brighter future.
Free SHS gave me the chance to go to senior high school. I'm studying science and dreaming of becoming a doctor.
Free SHS, investing in Ghana's future, one student at a time. Let's protect the future of our young people by voting number one on December 7th. Vote for Bawumia, vote number one.
They're luckiest.
Star 712 Hash.
Luck is everywhere, for everyone.
Here's to the friends who dialed star 712 hash and found no regrets. To the investors who struck gold. To the health workers who diagnosed luck with precision. To the tough guy who couldn't hold back his tears. To the passionate fan who couldn't contain his joy. To the seamstress who turned her hard-earned stitches into a bundle of happiness. And now, here's to you. Your next big win is right here.
Luck is everywhere. For everyone, yeah, they're
Dial star 712 hash. Now join in the luckiest winning celebration. Every 1st July 2024. Over dial star 712 hash. Now I can swear to ticket as a group, individual, and also even as a community. Now win is a cashier. Prizes are cashier in the community draw or go for the grand draw on the 30th of November 2024. Unlock your luck with star 712 hash. Now join in the winning streak now.
The luckiest
star 712 hash.
Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah, the luckiest.
Thanks for staying with us here on the Midday News. It's time for sports, and Ghana is set to face Niger in the final game of the 2025 Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers at the Accra Sports Stadium on Monday, November 18. Well, the decision, we know, comes following the stadium's approval for the previous qualifier against Sudan in October. And Otuado's side will face Niger in their quest to secure a ticket for next year's AFCON tournament to be staged in Morocco. And the mathematics is on, hoping that they'll win this particular game and then we can qualify for AFCON 2025. Now, let's focus on education, and the minister in charge of that sector, Dr. Yawose Educhum, says any haste to abolish the double track system under the free senior high school policy could deny many students the opportunity to access secondary education. His concern comes on the back of the opposition NDC promising to abolish the system as part of plans to improve the free SHS policy. Speaking on the state of Ghana's education, the minister said the government is building enough infrastructure to gradually phase out the double track system. Love FM's Nanaya Ojima has more.
The double track system was introduced as part of the free SHS policy implementation aimed at increasing access to secondary education by splitting the student population into two streams. By this system, the ministry was able to absorb all students qualified for the free SHS policy. Though the government has proven contact hours were not affected, many continue to criticize the policy. The Education Minister, Yawose Educhum, explains the consequences of any immediate abolition of the system.
I know that some people come to and say, we will abolish double track. And I say to myself, they don't know what they are talking about. If you abolish double track at Prempeh College today, they will not be able to enroll one student.
That's the Education Minister, Dr. Yawose Educhum. Let's focus on the National Science and Maths Quiz.
It is my pleasure to congratulate you on winning the contest. Well done, 2024 champion!
And the HAG and Ogasco students, or past Ogasco students, is still on. That challenge is still on. Hug them and show them all the love, because they are still nursing their wounds from that painful defeat, from the 1 point they never got. Meanwhile, we are celebrating in Fancy Pim School. They are the 2024 champions of the National Science and Maths Quiz. Well, the contestants have been sharing their plans. We'll join you on what's next.
I think when we're sitting there during the contest with Ogasco yesterday, with Prosecco on Sunday, with Prempeh on Thursday, all through that time, we're just telling God that you just do this for us, and then we'll go out and tell everyone about what he has been able to do for us. We are just going to tell everyone about what God is able to do with his children. It's not easy. Someone said it was luck. Yesterday, someone told us that we are the luckiest school. I think it's an inaccurate statement. I think we are just, it has just been God's grace that has carried us this far.
From here, I mean, there is university and then there is a lot after this.
What course are you going to pursue?
I want to do computer engineering. I'm also thinking about electrical engineering. But then these two people want to do medicine.
Contestants of Kwabuche, winners of the National Science and Maths Quiz. And tonight we are avoiding the rush hour and enjoying the happy hour. All roads will lead to the Accra International Conference Center. Is the Echo Bank Joy News Habitat Fair is underway. We are hoping to get a house and make it a home. That's my dream for the year 2024. This four-day offer, the fair offers patrons exciting deals, special offers, and free consultation for all housing needs.